Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're recording.
Recording, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Hi, welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where two black-ass girls invade the whitest show on earth.
The Bachelor.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And, okay, this is a different start to our podcast, guys. Mm. We are starting off the podcast on a very somber note. So, I hate this.
It's the worst.
So, Justine and I are super, super, super disappointed to announce that we unfortunately have to cancel our February 4th watch party. That we were so, so, so ecstatic to be hosting and being able to meet you guys. But at this point, we have to cancel it. Full transparency, because we want to keep things honest and open and real, as y'all know we do. So in the same brand of Two Black Girls, One Rose, full transparency, basically Monarch Rooftop double booked their space with a corporate event, and we got a call from them saying that they had to go with the corporate event and basically kicked us to the curb. That's literally the full story.
Yeah, that's it.
We tried to find another date with them, but they're totally booked up, and so here we are. We're obviously super disappointed. We would never, ever want to announce an event, promote an event, and then come back 2 weeks later and have to cancel the event. But unfortunately, this is the situation that we found ourselves in, and it fucking sucks. I want to be clear that Justine and I do not conduct business like this. We are two grown-ass professional women in New York City. We are very organized. We have put on successful personal and professional events in the past. And so, frankly, I'm fucking pissed that I even have to announce this right now. And if y'all know me well, you know I want to read Monarch Rooftop to filth, but I'm going to keep it kosher and leave it at that.
Yeah, and we're really devastated and disappointed and, you know, as upset as we are not stopping here. This is only motivating us for 2019 to get another live event in the books. Yep. We're working behind the scenes to find another space, if not for February 4th, then for later on in the year. And we will get an event for you guys that is bigger and better than we could have ever thought and expected. Mm-hmm. Yep. And just excited for what's to come in 2019. We'll obviously keep you posted on when this event will be. And we apologize for everybody who was looking forward to the event as we were as well. Anyone who has any connection with any venue space in New York City, let us know. We can have a projector, we can have TVs, we could figure this out, but just anyone who has any connection with a venue space, hit us up at the number 2 black girls, the number 1 rose at gmail.com.
Yep. Don't worry, guys, we'll be back.
We'll be back. We'll meet you.
We'll definitely meet you. Yeah. We will totally make this happen. Mm-hmm. No question about that. So on that note, a terrible note, but on that mm-hmm. note, we do have an episode recap for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so positive thinking, laws of attraction, you know,
yes,
all the positive things for 2019. Let's still, you know, keep trucking. Let's keep going. So we watched Colton's, what is this, third episode of The Bachelor?
Yes, third yes. episode, technically, yeah.
And we're a little late, obviously, day late. Mm-hmm. Happy Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day yes. to everybody out there. We were enjoying our day, and so we hoped you did as well, hence the late mm-hmm. episode. But yeah, we just watched the third episode of the season. Mm-hmm. Can I do initial thoughts? Yeah, I'll do my initial thoughts.
Sure, go ahead.
I finally have some favorites.
Oh, okay.
So that's a thing.
Yeah.
I'm totally hashtag Team Kaylin.
Oh, love her.
Girl, don't disappoint me because I'm literally been talking filth about Hannah all season. So don't let some other girl come with some receipts talking about how you is a trifling asshole, because I'm declaring myself Team Kaylin. She is yeah. so sweet mm-hmm. and so cute. And the fact that she does hold a conversation better than Hannah can,
yeah.
I'm just yep. already team whoever, anybody else. So I'm a huge fan of Kaylin.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this before, but I like Sydney also.
Yes.
The NBA yeah, dancer from New too. York. She had a little mm-hmm. bit more shine this episode. I really want to see more of them together. I feel like there mm-hmm. might be something there that might develop in later episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But I like her. And then Nicole, who I think is like a fan favorite at this point.
Oh, yeah. People were tweeting about Nicole so much because of her exercise.
Yes.
And her physical fitness.
She is my spirit person because I would have been flopping around on that date just the same way. I don't have no upper body strength, no leg strength, no strength at all. So that would have been me looking hella pathetic out there. So I love her. Plus, I just like how she just always opens up with Colton
mm-hmm.
and she's already been so vulnerable talking about her family and stuff like that. And she's so like giddy and cute and bubbly around him. And it's adorable.
Yeah.
I like her.
Cute.
So that's my, those are my initial thoughts. What okay. about you, friend?
So mine are, I feel like they're putting a little bit of money behind these dates.
Oh.
We've already had a lot of live crowds. We had mm-hmm. full costume changes for a lot of girls on yeah, this episode.
That's true. God.
I feel like Ari's season, they didn't do all this. Maybe I'm not remembering right, but I feel like they didn't do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I also just really hope this isn't going to be a whole season of Colton running into the bachelor's tent crying and saying he doesn't know what to do. I feel like it's going to be.
Yeah.
Until that nigga jumps the fence and runs off the premise like a felon booking out of Rikers, I just feel like he's going to be running to those producers like, oh, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And with his head down like, oh, I just don't know. What?
Yeah.
I've never seen this before. I don't know if this has happened. Maybe Ben Higgins was like this. He gives me that same
energy.
They
were the same age. Ben Higgins yeah. was also 26, but he was. Yeah. I don't think he was running to the producer's arms as much as Colton has been
like,
so far.
Colton, we're on episode 3 out of like 20.
Yeah.
You have got to get this together.
Got to get together, my dude. He's a very emotional guy. He needs a lot of emotional support.
Yeah.
You can tell. Yeah. So that... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's leaning heavy on these producers, which I don't know if they're the right people to be leaning on because they're orchestrating all the literal mess that you're being put through right now. But hey, get your emotional support you can, I guess. Shit.
And last thought, Elise is too good for this show. I would love to see her as the Bachelorette.
I would love to see her as the Bachelorette as well.
I'm like, her with Colton is preposterous. Mm-hmm. So Elise for Bachelorette and Tayshia, obviously.
Yes. Obviously, without said, any person of color.
Any person of color, really.
Ahead of even fucking Elise. But if we can't get that, then Team Elise, please.
Yes.
She brings the hair diversity. Redheads.
Yeah.
Never had that before as a bachelorette. So. So yeah, those are your initial thoughts.
That's it.
As always, everybody, rate, review, subscribe. We say it all the time. Mm-hmm. Please, for the love of God, rate us. If you like what you hear, if we are making you laugh, and you have not written a review yet and at least told us that, or at least hit the 5-star rating on iTunes or Google Play or whatever you're listening to, it takes 5 seconds. Just don't
and
do that.
How will we ever know?
Right. If you listen and love us, we won't know unless you tell us.
Right.
So go and tell us. Write a review, please. Thank you. And then for your own convenience, subscribe to us. Every time we get a new episode up, it just comes automatically to your notifications or however mm-hmm. that works. We are also live on Twitter. We live tweet every Monday. I told you last week, if you need a more enhanced Bachelor viewing experience, you want to tune into Twitter and you want to tune into our live tweets. Mm-hmm. Our handle is the number 2 BLK girls, the number 1 Rose.
And you can always email us at the number 2 black girls, the number 1 Rose at gmail.com. Also Instagram. Mm-hmm. We're really heavy into Instagram. Same, the number 2 black girls, the number 1 Rose, and same with Facebook.
Yes. And if you're listening right now, take a screenshot.
Yeah.
Post it on your Instagram story. Tag us in it. Share us with the world. Tell everyone this is the best Bachelor podcast / best podcast, period. And mm-hmm. to listen to us. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. We do, as always, because you guys love to hit up the email box, mm-hmm. we do have some lovely church announcements.
Yay!
What about your church program? Justine, take us to church.
So, we got quite a few emails this week. Mm-hmm. We had emails from Ashlyn, Carolyn, I hope I'm saying that right, Doreen, and Madison. Thank you all for the love, and thank you for the stories. We got quite a bit of stories, got some nice long juicy emails this mm-hmm. week. And just want to point out a listener letter that we got from someone who has a physical disability, and she spoke about how degrading it was to watch a competition where physicality was equated to emotional strength and being a confident woman. And these are things that, as a cis able-bodied woman, I don't immediately think about, but as a minority woman, I can always deduce down to. And we just hope that we're opening up the conversation for everybody here in our little family. And we see it on Twitter sometimes. We see people mm-hmm. who are opening up to new perspectives and stuff, which is cool. But mm-hmm. That letter just really hit me in a certain way. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Ugh. I really appreciate her letter. Also, I mean, The Bachelor, and again, the reason why we have this entire podcast, The Bachelor franchise is like such a case study in representation mm-hmm. mm-hmm. because we talk a lot about racial representation, the lack of racial representation on the show, but we have to remember all the other areas of representation, like yeah. able-bodied, like this show is 100% only showing able-bodied people and showing yeah. them as they are the ones who are worthy of love. Mm-hmm. To our knowledge, there's only been one woman. Her name was Sarah. She was on Sean's season. Who was a person with a physical disability, and she was born with one arm. Do you remember
mm-hmm.
Sarah?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sarah. And she was like, oh my God, this is crazy that we have this person. And like, yeah. they literally have never cast another person with a disability since then. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to remember the lens that we're watching this on. Like, we're seeing a very one-dimensional view of like women being worthy of love. Yeah. And, you know, we of course talk a lot about racial disabilities, but there's also many other, you know, isms, ableism, mm-hmm. Different sexual orientation, like lots of different classifications of people that are not represented on the show. And so we appreciate when people point that out and point out, mm-hmm. you know, when they feel some type of way by watching the show. So yeah. thank you for the letter.
And that's it. That's it for church announcements.
Okay. We do have some Bachelor Nation news.
Oh.
A lot of love is just budding in the Bachelor Nation nice. World. Mm-hmm. They ain't finding love on the show, but they finding it after the show. That's for damn sure. Ben Higgins is dating somebody.
What?
And he wouldn't say who.
Oh,
he
boy.
Only said, quote, she's not from Colton season. okay. Which lets us know it has to be somebody in Bachelor World. So yeah. he must be dating yeah. somebody, some other woman. And then he like announced on his podcast like he'll be revealing her later and like having this whole fucking thing. Yeah.
I don't know. As I get older, I think the more I look at these people who are like, I'm announcing my relationship, I'm like, you're doing what?
For the quote unquote influencers, this is like
I know.
They can get money out of this. They want to, they got to figure out the best way to leverage this, you know?
And we have less than a month till Valentine's Day. He better get them sponsorships together.
Exactly. A little Valentine's Day episode drop. Yeah. Ben Higgins reveals his new girl. Sponsored by Audible or whatever the fuck. Like. You know that's what they're trying to do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hey, get your coins. Do you,
get your coins, sir. Get
them coins. So that's Mr. Ben Higgins. And a lot of women in the world, the bachelor world, can be upset because he's like so beloved.
I don't know why. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
but he's now found his love. Bibiana, our girl Bibiana is dating somebody is not Mr. Peter.
No, no, it is not.
Not Mr. Peter. She, there's some guy she's dating. I don't know. He's been popping up all over her profile lately in her story for a while now. You kind of notice him in the cut, and she's tagged him in, I think, some recent photos. And
oh boy,
he's like a, he's not in Bachelor Nation. He's like a regular schmegler dude. His IG links to like a private account, so he like really don't fuck with
love
people.
It. Yes.
He's a regular Joe Schmo.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I can't wait for Reddit to dig up every goddamn thing about this too, so we can find out more, basically.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's Bibby. And then Joe and Kendall are moving in together.
Oh good. Are they moving to LA?
They are moving to LA. Yep.
Of course.
West Hollywood, to be specific.
Joe, never change.
I know.
Please don't change. Please.
It's over. It's already a wrap. It's a wrap.
I know.
Yeah. He's left Chicago. He's currently traveling on the road for like the Dancing with the Stars tour or whatever.
For what? So that he can dance?
So he could flop around on stage.
No. No. Natasha, you're lying to me. No.
He is. No. I read the article. Kendall's been like on the road with him, which is another question.
Oh,
like,
she don't have a job
that's
either?
That's the first thing I was going to ask. Bitch, you ain't got no job? Or you work remote? Please tell me you work remotely and you're not just on the road with this man.
Please.
Please.
He's not a fucking basketball player.
I don't know.
He can't even dance.
Exactly. Oh my God. Barely dance.
Like, he really can't dance. Like, really.
Really cannot dance.
Oh my God.
But she's been traveling around, and then she did a little article saying that they are moving in together in West Hollywood. Cute. And they're all happy and talking potential marriage and all that good stuff. So all
right.
So that's Miss Joe and Kendall.
Well.
And that's it for Bachelor Nation News.
Nice. Should lots of love.
Yeah, a lot of love. Should we dive into the recap?
Let's go.
This episode was boring. Let me just put that out there.
So boring.
Very boring. Yeah. We definitely gonna juice it up with this recap, but this was not the most eventful episode. So we open up with Sydney and Tasia, who we love. Just chatting about how hard the experience is, and they were starting to recap all the drama that was happening. So remember from last week, we got Tracy, problematic ass Tracy, old Tracy, old spinster Tracy, as she keeps paying her damn self. Let's be honest,
she does. Yeah,
fighting with Demi, little rugrat running around the house. We have Sydney had her little beef last week with Onyeka when they were doing the whole Bad Girls Club.
Oh my God, dedication,
fucking banging on drums and shit to get Colton's attention. And then we have the beauty queens, Miss Alabama versus Miss North Carolina, Kaylin and Hannah, and their brewing drama. So Chris Harrison stops by, all the girls are gathered around, all looking hurt because nobody had on makeup. They look beautiful, naturally beautiful.
They do. Some I think of them they, girls they look hurt, cute. Though. Yeah, one of them, I don't know if this was one of the scenes, but one of them we see Demi without makeup, and I was like, yo, who is that?
Yeah, yes,
and Demi. Then she goes and puts her lashes on, and I'm like, oh,
totally changed
this is
her
a
face.
Tia situation.
Totally changed her face. Mm-hmm. Not that she looked hurt without makeup, she just literally looked like a different person.
She looked like a different person. She looked like she was definitely in middle school.
Oh,
like
11
without
tops.
Even...
seventh grade. Like, the lashes help. Oh, got her to high school. Shit. Mm-hmm. So anyways, he announces that there's going to be three dates, two group dates, one one-on-one date. He reads off the names for the, or somebody reads off the names for the first group date. And lo and behold, Hannah and Kaylin, Miss North Carolina, Miss Alabama, are on the same date card.
Oh, what a shocker.
What a shocker. But also, cannot fucking wait to watch this.
Yeah.
So they head up on the group date and they show up at this theater. And there's this, like, big pirate ship, like, production thing on the stage. Mm-hmm. Colton's dressed up as a pirate. He, like, acts in this little skit where he, like, throws these pirates overboard, this whole thing. And then the girls learn that, well, these two random, like, pirates come out, Chris and Cindy, and tell them that they're going to learn how to be pirates today. Mm-hmm. And at the end, two people will get to compete for Colton's heart. How do they come up with this date? What is this?
I was just gonna say, this is just so much going on. It was like medieval times.
Yeah.
It was a SpongeBob SquarePants. It was a costume party. It was gymnastics. It was the Olympics. It was like so many things.
So confused. Was this like a production, a new Pirates on Ice that they were trying to promote? Like, there was no, we didn't get the conclusion. Usually they're promoting something. I didn't get what the promotion was.
No.
It was just a whole lot happening in the dumbest group date I've ever seen. But okay. So, So all the girls get dressed up in their little pirate outfits, whatnot. And they are standing on this, like, beam, and, like, they're trying to knock each other off. And Hannah, Miss Alabama's, like, crushing it. She's, like, getting everybody knocked off. But also, no one was really trying either. Like, they're like, oh, my God. This is scary. And this, like, jumped off the beam.
I really liked how Kaylin was like, I know how strong you are, so I'm just about to jump off this and not even let you
you come for my neck, because...
Yep, and then we're going to go straight to your man, who's also my man.
Exactly. So Kaylin, Hannah was crushing it in the beam, fucking whatever the hell that was, knocking each other off. Kaylin was crushing it because she had Colton's attention, like, the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Had Colton's attention the whole time. Hannah was salty as hell. And so after they do their little pirate training and whatnot, pirate Cindy and Chris select their top two, and they choose Tracy and Kaylin to battle it out for Colton's affections. Mm-hmm. So it's time for the show, and of course they bring in, you know, studio audience and the whole thing, and then it literally did become medieval time because they had plates of food.
That's what I wrote down.
They had the big old turkey legs.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, they got them big old chicken legs and that red wine that they'd be drinking at the medieval times.
Yeah, it's like, where are we? So
also, it seemed a little bit emasculating.
Why?
Like, I tweeted on Twitter. I was like, this is like very damsel in distress.
But Colton was the damsel.
Colton.
Well, I like it. It's empowering for women. Let's look at it that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true.
This shit was cheesy as hell. Is really what
it was. Whack. Yeah. Lots of money, though. Lots of money behind this. Mm-hmm. But it was just whack.
It was whack all around. So, yeah, the girls, Tracy and Kaylin, are, like, running around the stage putting on a show. They, like, compete on the beam and knock each other off the beam. And basically, like, have to, like, save Colton, I guess. And Kaylin wins. She gets up there first and unties him, and her and Colton share a little kiss in front of everybody, which was a little bit awkward. It's always awkward when he's, like, has to kiss on the first, like, in a group date setting.
Yeah, in front of everyone.
Pretty much the whole time that Kaylin's, like, crushing it, Hannah is just in her confessionals talking pure shit. And talk about how she wants to expose Kaylin to Colton, and
he
doesn't know who he's dealing with, and just being a salty, jealous asshole. Time for the group date drinks, and Colton sits down first with Katie. So Katie's the cute black girl who's like a dancer.
Yes, bubbly.
They had a kiss on the first night, and he really seems to be into her. He said he likes that she's been keeping it real. He seems kind of nervous around her, like in a cutesy kind of way, though.
Did you see how he was rubbing her leg?
Stroking that thigh.
Trying to. I thought it was strange, but I don't know. Maybe I'm being too picky, but I was
Colton
like,
could do no oh, right in wow. your book.
I know. I'm sorry, Colton. This is hard for me. Because you're just the opposite of my type.
Yeah, I
so
know.
This is hard for me to do.
I can't even get into this at all. But he said with Katie, like, their time is very effortless. They have a lot in common. Still haven't really learned what those things in common are because we don't see any of that conversation. But, you know, they look cute. So that's all we can say.
Yeah.
Back with the girls, Demi is getting back into it with Miss Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy. So the 7-year-old versus the spinster. Jesus. So Demi's talking some mess, saying, like, you know, we don't know what Colton's type is, so who knows who's going to get the rose. Like, a very fine statement to say, I guess. Tracy comes in, you know, like, well, you know, your type can change over time, and you know, tries to give, like, some womanly wisdom or some shit. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I didn't really understand why she said that back to Demi.
Right. It was, like, a rebuttal to Demi's very regular-ass sentence. Like, very blanket factual statement that we do not know
normal.
What his type is. Like,
yeah.
So Tracy came with her foolishness, and then Demi came back with her foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
With her ageist foolishness.
Oh my God.
Saying how, you know, I can't even imagine how I'd feel if I was an older woman surrounded by younger women.
Mm-hmm. And we're just all so beautiful.
We're all so beautiful. And like, what does that have to do with anything? What does any of this have to do with anything?
Yeah. Neither sentence, like all four of these sentences have nothing to do with each other.
Demi and Tracy just keep coming for each other, just keep with the attacks. And. Yeah. I don't know. They both have, I mean, Tracy clearly has some insecurity issues happening here.
For sure.
And Demi, I think Demi's just having fun, just coming at
Tracy
because she's such an easy target.
I think so too.
I think that's exactly what
it is. She's like having fun, like bullying her almost in a way.
But Tracy's let her ass get bullied.
Yeah.
Because this is so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Demi ain't saying nothing that you should be feeling so threatened about and so up in arms, crying in a closet and always having to be passive aggressive. Like, I don't know why Tracy's on her come to her like this, but whatever. So anyways, Courtney, pretty black girl from Atlanta.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Has her one-on-one time with Colton.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't see any connection between the two of them. None whatsoever. Okay.
Can't wait for Courtney on Bachelor in Paradise.
Right.
Can't
would
wait.
Love to see her with another pool of men.
Mm-hmm.
Because Colton ain't it. Demi steals him. And now Demi, her strategy is to come on like very strong and like sensual. She decides to like blindfold him and like, I don't know where she gets the paddle from, and like is whipping him basically over the ass. And
okay, so two things about this that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I feel like Demi is compensating for the way that she looks. For how she acts, because she's acting very dominant. She has like this dominant energy is like.
Like strong,
I don't know, it's like
sensual energy too.
I think.
She's leading with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very sexual energy. Mm-hmm. And like very specific S&M sexual energy. Also, fun fact, any of you guys in New York City who've been to the Sexpo, I've seen this very thing happening at the Sexpo.
Oh, people blindfolding men and like paddling
and spanking.
Justine
them.
Loves a good Sexpo, y'all. Let me just put that out there. She's gone to two.
I do.
The last two years, I never got an invite, but okay. She just be out here. I'm in Brooklyn at the Sexpo. This hoe don't never go to Brooklyn, first of all.
Never.
But she will find her ass on that L train and go to that goddamn Sexpo every damn year.
Yeah, it's
sorry,
wild.
Sorry, just to put you on blast
it's
real
a wild
quick.
Time. No, it's fine. It's, you know, it's part of me.
So they be paddling guys at the Sexpo?
Yeah. Yes, with blindfolds on. And they're like testing them to see if they like them. It's very interesting.
Testing the different paddles? What are... Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't think this was the case here. I don't know if Colton is into this. I don't know why he doesn't tell her, like, you gotta relax.
Well, one thing I wrote down, so Demi, she said something smart. I think she has great strategy. I don't know if leading with a strong sexual dominant energy is, like, the way to go. But she said she wants to do something different each time they're together. Every time they have a one-on-one, she wants to do something, like, a little bit memorable, which I think is great strategy. I mean, I do think, yes, you need to sit and talk and have conversation, obviously. But also, you want to use your one-on-one time wisely. So I think it's cute to have, like, a little... you know, activity or something funny or something, and then you can sit down and have a conversation. So I see what she's doing here. She's trying to make herself stand out from the other, from all the other friggin' blonde girls who are 22 in the house. So,
right. Cause like she said, they're all beautiful.
Yeah, they're all beautiful.
So that's not going to cut it.
You need to come with something a little bit extra. So yeah, that's, I guess that's what she's doing. So meanwhile, Courtney, because she got her time stolen from Demi, goes back to the group to complain to the girls about how she got her time stolen, which I just don't understand why these people do this. As soon as Demi comes back, Courtney asks if she can have a chat. Now, the look on Demi's face had me dying.
She was like,
she's like, I am so tired of you girls.
Yes.
And so am I, Demi. Because as soon as Courtney was like, can I talk to you, Demi? I'm like, here we go.
Like, Tracy had this very same talk with her last week.
If you're mad about her stealing time, don't let her steal the time.
Don't let her steal time. Period.
So Courtney brings her to the side to have this dumbass conversation and tells her, like, I just didn't like the tone that you asked me to steal.
Which is not true.
Demi, all she said was, hey, can I steal Colton away? There was no attitude, there's no tone to it, so I don't even know what else you would want her to do. Like, basically that whole conversation was just pure bullshit, and I'm on Demi's side with this. Like, if you don't want your time to be stolen, then you can straight up say, I'm not done with him, come back in 5 minutes, and that's that. Like, that's literally it.
Demi keeps doing these things that are, like, dead wrong, right? They're, like, wild and crazy. Like, she's ageist. She be stealing people's time. She's spanking Colton and bending him over. And she still has me on her side. I still steam Demi.
I'm still, because she's out here making time for herself. She understands how the show works.
Yep.
You don't have to sit and wait for Colton to come and grab you. You go and get time. Period.
Even though, like, if I was on the show, she called me geriatric, and I still am Team Demi.
She'd be coming for us. Exactly. But we're still Team Demi, because she's out here working the game, working the system, and getting roses. So that's more than some of these other girls can say. Anyways, back at the house, a date card comes, and it's read by Bend and Snap, who, again, looks like a legitimate person. I feel bad for even calling her Bend and Snap in the first episode. Who is this? She looks, the persona that she came with on episode one, with the red dress and the little voice and the dog and the plumped up lips and all that shit. Now she just looks like a regular ass girl in the house. And, like,
to me, she does not look regular. To me, she looks filled up.
Her face is still filled. Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, she didn't have a full face of makeup. She doesn't have this little attitude voice. Like, she isn't, she hasn't even gotten much airtime, honestly, since the first night. Yeah. So I will call her Catherine in this moment. I'll give her that respect. Catherine reads the date card, and it's a one-on-one date going to Elise. Mm-hmm. Elise, who is our beautiful redhead, 31. And the card says, love is in the air. So you know it's something to do with heights, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, back on the group date, Kaylin, Miss North Carolina? Yes, Miss North Carolina.
Yes.
Sits and has her one-on-one time with Colton. And he immediately is like, you know, I just want to address, you know, our very awkward kiss that we had to do in front of everybody. And, you know, I would love to redo it. You know, cutesy, cutesy.
Oh,
they redo the kiss and share a kiss. And he says, like, in his confessional, like, she has a lot of the things I'm looking for. I feel like I'm myself around her. Yada, yada, yada.
I find this strange only because I don't know what he wants in a relationship, because I've only seen mess and that he wants to lose his virginity.
Right. So we still don't really know
what he knows. Exactly. I don't know what he wants.
Mm-mm. I can assume he wants somebody who's like kind and comes from a good family, like, you know, like, oh, the same blanket stuff. But yeah, you're right, we haven't heard like fresh out his mouth like these are the things I'm like super looking for in a woman.
Yeah, no clue
looking for on this show, which would be nice to know, particularly since these girls are so young. Like, right. I'm curious to see, like, what are you seeing in them?
And because he's the bachelor. That's the whole point of this show.
Exactly. I mean, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But, so anyways, Kaylin and Colton, they seem cute and effortless, I guess. Whatever. Just throwing out buzzwords here now. Like. meanwhile, her arch nemesis, Hannah B., the reigning Becky of the week, is talking shit to her little homegirl, Heather, who's the Never Been Kissed girl.
Oh, Never Been Kissed. I was like, Heather.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And kicking with Heather, saying that Kaylin is a completely different person and Colton needs to know the truth. And she says in her interview that she's befumbled.
This ain't a word, right? Alabama listeners, is this a word?
This ain't a word.
Is this a word you guys use?
This ain't a word. And I'm all about making up words. That one just sounded dumb.
I'm all about making up words too, but don't make up a word and say, this is the only word I could find.
That's true. She said, I feel befumbled. This is the only word that I can find, or something like that.
What? No, that's not a real word. You got to think of something else, girl. You got to bust out that thesaurus.
Oh, God. So Hannah, she gets her one-on-one time with Colton. And here's where she's going to spill the tea on Miss Kaylin. So she tells him that, you know, Kaylin and I were friends. We were roommates at Miss USA. And she said, quote, and Kaylin said the same thing, quote, we both handle stress differently. You notice that later on in the episode, Kaylin said the exact same phrase, right?
Yes.
I'm not sure what they're hinting at there, but. And she said, pretty much as the year went on, they had a falling out and hadn't talked since. One thing that was weird about all of this was she was smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah, it's very pageant.
Very pageant. That's how the pageant girls are. Yes, it was really creepy. Mm-hmm. Smiling ear to ear as she's literally throwing this girl under the bus. And she just said, like, you know, we were in a high-stress, hostile environment. And, you know, it's in this environment with her. And flat out says to Colton, or Colton flat out asks her, like, you know, is she mean, fake, manipulative? Like, what are you trying to say here? And Hannah just kind of gave this, like, very knowing look. And said to him, like, if you have feelings for her, then you can't possibly be into me. And so Colton is just sitting there. He's just, like, super weirded out, confused, like, doesn't really know what to think, because she didn't really,
nobody gave any specifics,
tell him anything exactly. She gave no specifics. She threw out words like hostile, fake, manipulative, but didn't really back up anything else. So he is kind of just like, ugh, and just like tells her, like, let's talk about this later. Gives her this like sad little forced kiss and walks off. He walks off and immediately goes and grabs Kaylin. Sits down with Kaylin, which was kind of odd because he already had his one-on-one time with Kaylin. So all the girls are like, what the fuck is happening? And flat out tells her, like, I just had a conversation with Hannah and how it wasn't really clear what the fuck she was saying. But, you know, so Colton immediately goes off and grabs Kaylin, which was strange because she already had her one-on-one time, so everyone's wondering like what the fuck is happening. And he tells her immediately, like, I just had this conversation with Hannah about y'all too, and how it, you know, wasn't really clear what she was saying, and basically he wants to hear her side of things. So Kaylin goes into her side of things and says that, you know, we were friends and we were in a very competitive environment at Miss USA. And, quote, they handle stress differently. This is, like, the pageant answer that both of them were given to say. Isn't that so wild? Ugh, creepy. They both handle stress differently. And then, and she said the way she handles stress is to kind of, like, clam up and get quiet. And then from there, she kind of veers off and says, you know, she's had to deal with some very tough personal things that have happened to her in her mm-hmm. life. And she didn't really want to bring this up to him yet. And, you know, wanted to talk about it with him, but not at this time. And started crying. Mm-hmm. And Halton hugs her. And it was kind of very odd. Like, we didn't get any clarity on the Hannah yeah. thing. She mentioned some yeah. personal things happened in her life that kind of came out of nowhere. We didn't really get any clarity on that. We kind of just end that scene with her crying and him hugging her.
I think that Hannah B. is trying to get Kaylin to just play her last card in the deck. Because Hannah B. is out of cards.
Yeah.
Because she didn't have any to begin with. So all she has is that she hates Kaylin. That's it. And so she's trying to get Kaylin to spill everything. But Kaylin doesn't have to do right. that. Because Kaylin has a personality and words.
Yes.
So Kaylin is playing smart. Mm-hmm. And Hannah B. is just trying to play straight competition. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, it's another competitive environment. That's what I really wanted Colton to ask about was like, okay, you guys had that happen there, but this is another competitive environment. So what is going to happen from now? Like, how have you grown mm-hmm. from that? How have you grown right. from that? I wanted him to go off a little bit, but of course we didn't get that. No,
none of that.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So, yeah. So the girls are sitting back wondering, like, what the fuck is happening? Why did he grab Kaylin? They're all kind of talking in circles. Hannah B's looking shook because she's like, fuck, what's happening?
I ruined it.
And suddenly, Colton walks up and grabs.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which you know is very important to me.
Uh-huh.
But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, mm-hmm. especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. Mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
Mm-hmm. It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
The group date rose, walks mm-hmm. back to Kaylin and awards Kaylin the group date rose.
For not telling him what she wanted
exactly,
to tell him.
Exactly, for literally saying nothing. Opening up about a personal thing, we still don't really hear what.
But we still don't.
Cries and tears. Yeah. Basically, ends up looking better than Hannah, and so therefore mm-hmm. is awarded mm-hmm. the group date rose. And I ain't mad at him because yep. I'm Team Kaylin. So nope. Fuck you, Hannah. So Hannah's sitting there just looking like a big old dum dum. And Colton says to Kaylin, I like you a lot. This rose is about our time together, our connection, and gives her the rose. And this, for me, was my Colton making moves moment.
Making moves!
Okay, yeah. I see it.
This, for me, was his kind of like a fuck you to Hannah. I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. You can come here and try to throw somebody under the bus real quick, but you came with literally zero receipts. And so it's time for you to have a seat. Kaylin, will you accept this rose? And so that to me was his, like, because he could have done the whole, which is kind of back and forth, which he does later in the episode. Mm-hmm, yeah. But in the moment, he was feeling Kaylin, and so he decided to give her the rose and whatever.
Yeah.
Hannah is left looking dumb, and so she obviously gets my Becky of the week yet again.
Obviously. Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Back moments. Okay. As I said, you can't come with these bold declarations about somebody being hostile and manipulative and this, that, and the third, and come with no concrete facts, no stories, no receipts, nothing. Threw her under the bus, didn't come correct with some story to back it up, and now you're just left looking dumb because he literally awarded the group date rose immediately after you try to throw her under the bus. Like, that is the definition of the Becky of the week and looking just dumb. Whew, Lord have mercy. So Kaylin rejoins the group and she's, you know, very teary-eyed. The girls are kind of wondering what's happening. She tells them it's personal and they kind of respect her wishes. And in her confessional, she's saying that Hannah's a lying asshole and that for whatever reason, I am a trigger for her and this is just the beginning.
I love that she used that word.
Trigger, right? That's like the word of like the century. I love the word trigger.
I know. It's a good therapy word. You can tell Kaylin's been through therapy.
Yep, she has. That's why she's more well-adjusted than Hannah, who's running around her head cut off trying to throw people on the bus and everything's going awry, basically. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the next day, Kaylin still can't stop crying.
Oh my god!
Still in arms. She's like terrified of what else Hannah's gonna do, how this is gonna affect her relationship with Colton.
I want to know what she did. What did she cut off all her hair? What did she steal her eyelashes? Like, what was she doing?
What did Kaylin do to Hannah?
What did Hannah do to Kaylin? I have no doubt that Hannah was doing this to Kaylin.
What happened?
Like, did she steal her swimsuit? Like, what happened?
What really happened? Shout out to anyone who's a pageant girl. Writing some story. I don't know nothing about pageant worlds, but I know girls can be catty, and in a hyper competitive environment, I know there's some shit that goes down. Email us in any stories y'all got. Like, I would love to know whether it's related to Kaylin or Hannah or just like what you've been through in the pageant world.
Yeah, your experience.
I'm dying to know. So Kaylin's crying to everybody, and Hannah's sitting with her one friend, Hannah. Or Hannah, Simba, Hannah, Heather.
Heather.
Talking about how, you know, it'd suck if he would send me home before her. This is just another competition in Hannah's eyes.
Yeah. Which it is.
It is. But it's another Hannah versus Kaylin, who's going to come out on top competition. Mm-hmm. When it shouldn't be about that. We're here, you know, allegedly, supposedly, for Colton. So that's what it should be about, okay? Anyways, time for Elisa's one-on-one date, and she is so stinking excited, as she said. For their date, they are going flying in a helicopter from LA to San Diego, and they end up at Belmont Park, which is like amusement park, I guess, in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And Elise, going into the date, she acknowledges, you know, they have a 6-year age difference. He's 6 years, 5 years. He's 26. She's 31. Whatever the math is on that. What is that? 5 years? She said 6 years. Now I'm confused. But anyway, she's, you know, she acknowledges their age difference and she just wants to make sure that they're on the same page in terms of like what they want out of life and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. So as they get there, Colton, first thing he says is, this is not actually a one-on-one date. This is a group date. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. And around the corner comes my literal worst nightmare. a group of like 25 to 10 year olds.
Yeah, this was a lot. As soon as they were running, and I love kids, as soon as they were running up, I was like, whose children are these?
Whose children are these? And can we just get a regular ass one-on-one date? God damn. Why are they gotta be babysitting now?
Oh my God, and they were babysitting like 20 kids. There's a
whole league of children.
Like, no.
So we eventually learned that these are kids that were from, I guess, a nearby children's hospital. So, of course, I immediately felt like an asshole for just thinking any of this.
But still, that's still a lot.
Still a lot. I don't want to be on a date with no damn kids from the children's hospital or otherwise. Like, no.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was a cute date. They got to spend the whole day with the kids, going on the rides, playing the games, going for ice cream, all that stuff. Elise gets to see Colton around kids. He gets to see her with kids, blah, blah, blah. So they sit and have a chat. We learn a little bit more about Colton and his foundation. He tells us again his little cousin was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. So he started this charity that would get kids out the hospital. And then their parents get to see them like be a kid, which I thought was cute. I didn't know that's what the charity was.
Yeah, I didn't know that was like the mission that they, of the charity. I guess
take kids out on like excursions and things, get them out of the hospital, get to have like a fun day, and then their parents also get to see them like not in the hospital in that kind of like depressing environment. So that was cute. And they, you know, Colton and Elise had a cute little moment on the roller coaster, shared a little kiss, riding down. It was all cute. So time for the dinner portion of their date. And Elise said that she was very happy to be a part of today. It was, you know, incredible to see him with all the kids. And she, I just love her energy. She's just like very,
me too,
like elegant in a way, like elegant and like mature. And as you said, like just seemingly too good for this whole entire
everything
that's happening here. Like, I don't want to see her competing against 22-year-old Heather, who's never been kissed. Like, this is a joke.
So ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
She's in literally a completely different league than half of the girls in the house.
And, like, stage of life.
Stage of life. Yeah.
Like, Heather does not have an occupation listed still. She is still listed as never been kissed.
Oh, my God. Because she just graduated from college. She's still going on interviews.
I know.
Oh, my God.
This is probably her time in between.
Yeah, this is literally the window before graduation and getting a full-time job. She's just like, let me go do this little fun adventure for a little bit. So Elise is just looking all the way beautiful and incredible.
Gorgeous. Loved her dress.
Loved her dress. Yes. It was like this cute, like slinky, but tight, like deep maroon, right?
Yeah, like mini color. Dress. The color was
really
like,
nice. Yeah.
Gorge.
So Colton says that he really admires her like confidence and independence, so attractive to him, and like, you know, why are you the way you are, how did you become this woman? And she, you know, says, I had something very traumatic happen to me that really shifted my priorities in my life. And she tells a story about how her sister, her older sister, I think, was pregnant with her second child when she found out that she had a tumor. And basically it came down to like her, the baby, and the baby survived and her sister passed away. And Elise also has a charity called Sarah's Closet where they, I guess, donate gifts to newborn babies. And devastating story. God damn, these people will be having some lives on them. Jesus.
Yeah.
And she was kind of just shocked that she's even like opening up about this so quickly. Like, these are things that you don't talk about on first dates, second dates, third, like this shit doesn't come up.
No.
But this is The Bachelor. Things move quickly. She has a date today. She might not have another date for another 4 weeks. So gotta let it all out. Pretty much let him into her life, into like a huge moment that 100% shaped who she is as a person.
Yeah, for sure.
Quickly, back at the house, another date card arrives. It's for another group date. Everyone is on the card except Big Eyes. Hannah G? Yes. So she's the only one who pretty much is going to the roast ceremony this week without any time with him, but we already know she's like a clear favorite, so who the fuck cares?
Obviously. Yeah. You know she has 242,000 Instagram followers?
She's one of the ones that came in with a lot already.
She did, yeah. But she grew.
She grew, for sure. Mm-hmm. She grew, but she had a good starting point. Homegirl came in with...
She did. Yeah, I think she had like 17K or something. Something big. Yeah.
Anyways, back on Elisa's date, Colton obviously gives her the date rose.
Obviously.
And, you know, tells her he's really happy that she opened up. He really admires her strength, super excited for their future together. Gives her a kiss, and she says, you know, this has been just the best day. Then, like clockwork, Colton says, oh, you thought we were done here.
Oh, my God.
No. Camera turns around, and those fucking goddamn double doors appeared. I screamed in horror. Who was on the other side? It's our girl, Tennille Arts. Who actually recognized her name because she was on...
Oh, you did?
Was she on last season? Tennille Arts. She was on either last season or Ari's season. I 100% recognize her. She has performed already.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Yes. So Tennille Arts is on stage. There's a whole room full of screaming fans. Shout out to somebody wrote us in this week.
Yeah.
Who was one of the screaming fans and told us about her experience being she was an Asian American woman, right? Who came with her friends and they swiftly ushered her to the front row so the Bachelor producers can have some diversity on screen. I was watching, I 100% saw an Asian girl in the background. In the second row, so I'm pretty sure that was our girl who wrote us in. Shout out to you. But yeah, Tennille Arts is there. Colton and Elise, you know, same old, on stage, dancing, kissing, everybody screaming.
So, firstly, she was singing a song called I Hate This, just so you guys
That's
know.
That's the name of the song?
That's the name of the song, Jesus. I Hate This.
Okay.
Because Tennille Arts has an agenda. She's pushing that new single. She don't care what you dancing to. Secondly, I downloaded it. Look, I like it.
I liked it.
I thought it was really good.
I really liked it. I said
for the first time ever. Yeah. Ever.
She could sing. Tennille Arts could sing.
Yeah.
I can't even hate. I don't even listen to country, and I for damn sure ain't downloading it, but it sounded good.
And I really like there are certain like female country artists that I like. She's like that style of female country artist that I enjoy. Okay. So all right, Tennille Arts. Tennille. Getting me. Getting you got a black woman fan now.
Right. Colton, he's gushing about Elise, saying this moment I've had with Elise is one of the best I've had so far. And Elise says, I really love that I'm falling in love.
OD.
OD.
Yeah, OD. OD. Yeah, OD.
I really hope that wasn't from... I really hope that was them doing some, like... what they call it, Franken editing, where that was something she said like 4 weeks from now that they're splicing in now, because girl, this is way too early to be talking about falling in love. But all right, so that was their date, all cute. Next is our last group date. The card said every strong man needs an even stronger woman, and Colton, well, we see Colton and he's shirtless, looking beautiful, flipping tires and showing his abs, and you know, Justina's like so grossed out when I describe Colton.
Yeah, sorry. I just thought of his hairless chest and I was like, oh my god.
Ooh. Ooh. All I keep thinking,
I don't like a slip and slide.
We went through a season of Ari.
I know.
A whole season.
I know.
We did not get this in a long time, so we gotta cherish this man and his abs. And his big, beautiful body.
Guys, remember when my Ari Could Get It moment was just him wearing cowboy? We've come a long way.
We have. That was totally a moment.
Oh my god. I was like, he's wearing Converse. He's so youthful.
Like, I get it. Oh god. I love that season. Every Ari Can Get It moment was like a frame by frame. You guys, pause the
Ari
TV.
In the background.
Minute 43, second 54, Ari looked ever so cute in this one frame. We've come a long way. really so as much as you can't stand Colton, I have to point out these moments when we get to look at something pretty.
Yes.
So Colton says he doesn't need to be with the fittest person, like his wife doesn't need to be all fit and whatnot, but you know, I do need you to be there for me and to be my rock.
What does that mean?
No fucking sense, but let's just just keep grinding with it. So the van pulls up and the girls see him there shirtless and are all, you know, beside themselves. They run up to him and he tells them they're obviously gonna be doing some type of physical working out date. So they head inside and they are greeted by Terry and Rebecca Cruz.
Listen. Old and messy.
Old and messy. Terry Crews from White Chicks. White Chicks? Yeah, White Chicks.
From so many things.
From White Chicks, Everybody Hates Chris. Mm-hmm. So him and his wife have been married for 29 years, which is amazing. Rebecca Cruz, that face. I'm going to need her to lay off.
But she's been through a lot with Terry. They were on Dr. Phil. She's been through a lot with that man.
What they been through?
Mm-hmm. They messy. He was addicted to porn and prostitution and all types of other things. God. Oh, yeah, girl. Oh, no, not prostitutes. I'm sorry. Sex workers. yeah.
Oh, shit. So 29 years of strife, but they made it through.
She was the one who said, I'll take your money and then use it for me and my new man and your kids.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
She don't play.
Yeah, she like read him on air and he just had to sit there with his titties bouncing. Anyway.
Oh my God. So yeah, Terry and Rebecca Cruz, they introduced the next group date, which is also my nightmare, which is basically them.
this whole episode is my nightmare.
Aside from Elisa's date, that was a nightmare with the kids. I like the helicopter ride, like that I loved. And the concept of going to the amusement park without the kids, but so yeah, this next group date, they're basically just in a big old like CrossFit studio working out, basically. I don't know. Catherine Bend and Snap, she apparently has a black belt in Taekwondo or whatever. Meanwhile, Nicole can't do a pull-up, so that's the range of physicality among this woman.
Yeah.
Love Nicole, because girl, I can't do a pull-up either. I could barely do a push-up, so I'm right there with you. Sydney, Nicole, our NBA dancer, smart little strategic move. She has Colton come and stretch her legs. One, she's showing her flexibility, if you know what I mean, if you know what I'm saying. And two, she got a little one-on-one little time with Colton and got to make all the girls jealous. So they eventually leave the workout facility and head outside to obviously another group of screaming fans for another public display of just foolishness in the Bachelor's Strongest Woman competition. Nicole's face was just horrified. Love her. She was literally my spirit person this entire episode. And basically they're going to be competing in some physical challenges and only three people will make it to the final event. So the first like challenge is they have to push this like 100-pound wedding cake in the dirt.
Yeah.
Onika killed it. She ran track. She's obviously in shape.
Yeah, clearly.
She got it done. Nicole, my girl, couldn't even move it an inch. Literally, it was going backwards. Nope. Like, no strength whatsoever.
Oh my God.
This is where she got my invite to the cookout.
No!
Because that literally would be me.
No.
I have no physical strength, like, whatsoever. I'm so bad at anything physical. I hear you, girl. You can come hang out with me. She looked like somebody who enjoys eating and food.
Yeah, she does.
And can tear down a meal, so she can come have fun at the cookout, and I won't put you to no physical tests, okay? So yeah, that's that. Our final three were Sydney, Catherine, Ben and Snap, and Onika. And they, for their final challenge, had to run like little laps carrying like a big ass heavy like medicine ball, essentially. And Onika won. Killed the game.
She killed it.
Time for the group dates, like drinks, end of the date thing. And Colton said, you know, he loves seeing such strong, confident women today. Tasia, she pulls him off for her one-on-one time.
Mm-hmm.
Cute little dress. Her boobs were out here. Mm-hmm. Out here ready to play. I don't know. And she asks him about, like, all the strong women in his life. And he, you know, talks about his family or whatnot. Then Nicole, my girl Nicole, sits down with Colton and tells him about strong woman in her life, which was her grandmother, who was the first to leave Cuba and, you know, brought all the family to the States. And this was kind of funny to me. He commends Nicole for being, like, a very mentally, emotionally strong woman. And literally as he's saying this, she's crying tears. Like, she's, like, wiping away tears from the side. I'm like, why are you crying again?
Yeah, why are you crying? At least didn't cry.
At least didn't even cry.
Talking about her sister's insane story. And you're sitting here crying about something that never even happened to you?
Crying as he's commending you for being, like, emotionally strong. I just
emotionally
found that juxtaposition hilarious. Also, Nicole, still my spirit person, because I'm a crier as well. Like, I love to cry.
Yeah, she's great.
But, like, girl, keep it together. Fuck, in this one little moment. Yeah. Can you not cry in front of Colton? Onyeka and Colton have the little moment. He says that he finds her energy contagious.
This is bullshit. He's not into her at all.
I don't see it at all.
Not at all.
I think he has fun with her, for sure. She is a bundle of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Contagious energy, annoying energy, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Cassie, I don't even know who Cassie is.
I forget who Cassie
is. She's one of the young blondes.
Oh, she's the speech therapist.
The speech therapist.
She's 23. Okay. She was, like, in graduate school or something.
Sure. Still not jogging my memory, but okay. He says that she's cute and quirky and awkward, that she gives him butterflies. Mm-hmm. He feels like himself with her, blah, blah, blah. Next is Caitlin. Now, mm-hmm. Caitlin, she's not very memorable at all in terms of the episodes, but from our cast bio, she's the one who is a real estate agent who had that very,
very questionable website
of her alleged supposed real estate firm.
Yes.
So she missed out on a date last week, I think. So she's finally getting to have some time mm-hmm. with Colton. And she admits, like, their connection is a bit behind others, but she's hoping that they can get there. So they're sitting down and Colton says, you know, I want to get to know you on a deeper level. Caitlin says, quote, well, you know, I haven't had anything major happen in my life that is standing out to me that I want to share with you, other than the fact that today was great.
This is where she gets my Becky of the Week.
Of course, yes. Please.
Girl, he's not asking you for a sob story.
No.
He's just asking how you got to be the woman that you are now. And
yes.
Because you came here with her, your only objective to push this bullshit real estate company. You did not even think about a good story to have you stand out to this man. So to
nope.
him, you're just another blonde girl who's 98 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can go, girl, because there's like seven of you.
Exactly. No effort. Nothing.
Nothing. There was no personality. And Hannah B has no personality either, but she had tried at the end.
At least at the end, she came with something and salvaged her that damn date.
And you don't have to have a sob story. She was making it out to be like, you have to have some sort of a sob story to be interesting, and you don't.
Don't. That's what's annoying. It's like, just tell me anything about you. I haven't been on a date with you. You missed a date last week. Tell me something about you.
Something.
And her answer is, I have nothing to share with you.
Yeah.
But today was fun.
Mm-hmm.
So he asks her, you know, so what are you... He's really trying here, giving her opportunities to tell him anything. So he says, you know, what are you looking for? Caitlin says, quote, someone who's happy to go out with me and my friends and have a ridiculous, silly evening. I don't know what else to open up about except that my life has been good.
That killed me.
That literally...
My life has been good.
Period. Nope. Point blank. That's full it. Stop. Like, that's it.
He didn't ask you that question.
No. He asked, what are you looking for?
What are you looking for?
Tell him anything.
Like, find anything. Some qualities. Good father. Something.
Someone nice.
Kind. Right. Someone nice and kind would have actually been better.
Sense of humor.
Yep.
All she can muster together was somebody who can go out with her and her friends and turn up on the club scene.
Yeah.
And that her life has been good, period, full stop.
Oh my God.
He tries again.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He says, tell me what's an intimate night like with your family? Her rebuttal, maybe intimate isn't the right word.
Oh my God, because she doesn't have an answer strong to flint.
Exactly. Caitlin is, she's, as you said, she's like Hannah B 2.0.
Yeah.
Vapid, depthless, boring as shit, couldn't even muster anything. At least Hannah salvaged the date at the end.
Yeah.
Caitlin couldn't even come with anything. I don't know what her objective was sitting there on that one-on-one. I don't know how she was so shocked that he literally sent her home right after this.
Yeah, why? Because if your life is so good, that means that your family life is good. So tell me about your family.
Yeah.
He was really trying to help her out.
Yes. So you want to know, you want to find someone who can have a fun night on the town with your friends? Tell me about your friends.
Right.
Nothing. We got crickets. So he, pretty much the end of this conversation is like, yep, there's nothing here for me or you, so let me walk you out. Literally sent her home in that very moment.
Yep.
Her face was like flabbergasted, like she can't believe this is happening to her. And he packed her up and sent her in the car and, you know, said, I feel bad. She's an incredible woman. No, she ain't. No, you don't have to lie. Stop. Yeah. Stop. I hate when they have to do that, like, you know, end things on a, you know, she's this or she's that. Just say she didn't give me anything.
Yeah.
Be honest. I tried with her. She gave me nothing. She didn't give me any conversation. I don't know what she's here for. I wish her the best. Good riddance. Peace out. See you another bitch. Bye. So that was that. The date rose ended up going to Nicole.
Mm-hmm. Which I love because she like epically failed at the date.
Yes.
And she still got the group date rose.
Still got the group date rose because she brought it with the conversation and the connection and continued to share things about herself and did more than Caitlin could do. So see you never. The next day, the girls are around the house. They're all shocked that Caitlin got kicked to the curb. They're all nervous because, you know, Colton's now fully making moves, just letting people go when they need to go. Chris Harrison comes by and announces that there's no cocktail party tonight, but they will be having a pool party.
Oh my God.
Hannah B, Miss Alabama, is scared because she did not leave things on a good note with Colton. And he gave Caitlin the fucking date rose immediately after their conversation. So all attempts to throw Caitlin under the bus did not go well. And this is the first time she's going to be seeing Colton. Colton arrives and he kind of announces, like, this week has been very emotional. I've had some conversations that have had me questioning my instincts. And I'm hoping to get some clarity on that today, which he's obviously talking specifically about the Hannah Caitlin, you know, drama. So Colton, first he sits with Big Eyes, tells her, you know, sorry, I didn't give you a date, but I feel very confident about us, so whatever. Which we already knew.
Yeah.
Hannah B, Miss Alabama, she's sitting off to the side with her little toady, Heather, talking yet again. The two of them just look like two catty little high school girls.
They really do.
Just talking the same mess over and over. Heather is loving it. I mean, she's getting no time with Colton. She ain't getting no camera time. She ain't getting no time whatsoever. So she's just sitting here just egging this shit on.
So she has some sort of storyline.
Some sort of storyline, I guess. So she's egging Hannah on. Because literally as they're talking, Colton and Caitlin come walking hand in hand past Hannah and Heather. And so Heather is kind of like getting in Hannah's head and is like, you know, she's over there talking crap about you right now. literally like two catty high school girls.
Yep. Like, this is not about you.
This is not even about you, but okay.
Yeah.
So Kaylin and Colton have their one-on-one time. And Kaylin says, okay, let me tell you a little bit more about this whole drama. So she says Hannah and her were really close friends. But at Miss USA, Kaylin became first runner up. She went a little bit farther in the conversation in the, competition. And that's when she noticed that Hannah was starting to change. She was starting to talk shit about her, I guess, behind her back. And basically starting to notice like a pattern of behavior, because she's noticing that she's doing the same thing in the house. That she's being
here
manipulative.
Here we go, examples.
She's talking shit about her. Pretty much kind of gave her side of things. Colton is still sitting there confused. Because, as he said, he had a full one-on-one date with Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, between you and I, went horribly. I don't know how she got a one-on-one date, or got the date rose at the
end. How she got the rose, I have no idea either.
Whatever. Colton is confused because he's had a one-on-one date and didn't see those sides to Hannah on the date. And so he's
obviously
just,
not.
Obviously. So he's starting to just question everything. So, Colton now... This man is literally shuffling back and forth, back and forth. Neither of these girls are given full receipts or stories or like concrete examples of like how this girl is being manipulative or, you know, whatever. So Colton goes and sits with Hannah now and just full out says, Hannah told me some things that make me question your character. Some words that come to mind that she literally just told me 2 seconds ago, like literally was just throwing just Kaylin like, under the bus.
Yeah, just like feeds back what they're saying.
Word for word what Kaylin said.
You're just feeding the beast, Colton.
Yes, you're not going to get to the bottom of anything by saying she said this and you said this, and you're not getting anywhere with this. So he tells her that Kaylin told me you're manipulative, toxic, and deceitful. No. You know, what do you have to say for yourself?
Are you manipulative, toxic, and deceitful?
What other fucking answer are you going to get from someone? But no, I'm not.
Yeah.
God, Colton, you're... he doesn't know how to, like, deal with, like, confrontation.
At all.
Doesn't know how to really mediate issues.
Mm-mm.
Because this is not the approach. What he needs to be saying to Hannah is, I'm very confused.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are both saying the same things about each other.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a concrete example of what exactly you're talking about.
Right.
Because all I'm getting is a lot of like, he said, she said, you're calling her these names. She's calling you the exact same names. Give me an example of how she was manipulative and why exactly I need to be watching my back with her.
And tell them straight out, like, this one said this about you. This one said this about you. So I think this of both of you now.
Right.
Like, give them some like real like hard boundaries with it. Don't be sitting here being like, oh well, he's setting himself up for failure in these conversations,
because he's ping-ponging back and forth and it's just a she said she said.
Yeah,
we're not getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still sitting there looking dumb and confused. Hannah's still saying it's not true. She's the one who's manipulative and fake. And if you pick her, you'll never see her true sides and blah, 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 blah. Neither girl's coming with receipts.
Mm-mm.
Colton walks off, finds a producer, goes off in a corner and cries. Meanwhile, let's remember that this isn't just a house of Hannah and Kaylin. There's literally 45 other girls back at the pool party who have not even seen Colton.
Yeah.
And they're pissed because they're like, where the hell is he? And we haven't even had our time with him.
Mm-hmm.
We get no resolve whatsoever. And we go into the rose ceremony with still hella questions. So going into the rose ceremony, remember, Kaylin already has a rose
on
the group date. Nicole has a rose and Elise has a rose. So it's time to hand out the roses. Hannah G, Big Eyes, gets the first rose,
mm-hmm.
followed by Tasia and Katie, cute black girls.
Mm-hmm.
Roses.
Hold, wait, because my invite to the cookout is buried in here.
Oh, okay. Sorry, because you know I wasn't going to go name all the roses.
I know, no. It's too early for that.
Mm-hmm.
My invite to the cookout goes to everyone who finally wore red.
We are
on our third rose ceremony
now,
and nobody's worn red yet. So shout out to Courtney, Bree. Oh God, I called her Lauren, but there's no Lawrence. Whoever you were, the other one, girl.
Oh,
Onyeka and Elise. Shout out to everybody who wore
red.
Damn,
they
finally
all wore red.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Red is the color, ladies. That's...
Oh my God, you guys,
science
the best.
Says that men love red on a woman.
They do.
So, that's... We need to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, roses. Last rose, surprise, goes to Hannah B., Miss Alabama,
because
the producers need just another couple weeks of this drama.
Yeah,
and frankly, I need some receipts.
They just need a two-on-one.
They need a two-on-one, which
but that's mad long.
That's so far away.
How's she gonna last? How's Hannah B gonna last that long?
I can't watch her for that much longer. So they're gonna wrap this shit up by next week. I'm dead ass. I can't take her smile, that big ass fake pageant smile.
Oh my God,
I can't
awful.
Take it. So as soon as they announce the last rose goes to Hannah B, of course the camera zooms in on Kaylin's face. She just has like this awkward perma smile because
mm-hmm.
she has to keep it together when really she wants to roll her eyes and drag that girl.
Mm-hmm.
But she kept it together. And so three girls going home. Bree, that was the Australia accent girl.
Faux Australia.
Catherine, aka Bend and Snap.
Yeah.
And Nina, who she was the one that speaks Croatian. That's all I got. Though
yeah, that's it.
And that was the episode.
Mm-hmm.
We did get a preview for next week. Apparently they're going to Singapore, so they're ready going on their international excursions.
This shit is so boring. They're going to Singapore on the third episode,
ASAP.
Fourth episode.
ASAP. We are
There's
done
like
with Cali.
16 people they gotta bring to Singapore.
Right? That's a lot of planes. They had to, a lot of flights.
That's
they had
a lot
to
of money.
That's a lot of money. Singapore is not cheap, first of all, just as a country. And so, yeah, we're off to Singapore next week. Got some footage of him tonguing down Cassie, making out with Tasia. Demi's still out here doing what Demi does. we have I think it's Demi saying, could Colton lose his virginity in Singapore? So we're bringing back the virginity foolishness.
Yeah,
which we got a break from this episode, actually, now that I mentioned
did.
It, we didn't get none of that this episode, thank God. And we have Kaylin. It looks like Kaylin goes on a one-on-one date and walks in to the suite or wherever the hell they're staying with a whole bunch of shopping bags.
Yes.
So she got another Becca-esque date where she got to go shopping and got to keep all the shit.
Mm-hmm.
That is the best fucking group date or best ever. One-on-one date ever.
Yep.
We also got a little footage of, it looks like Kaylin is going to pull Hannah aside and have a little conversation. Can't wait to see that. And then we see Courtney and Demi. Courtney, black girl from Atlanta, and our girl Demi getting into it. And it honestly looks like Demi reads her ass to filth.
Probably. She probably does, because Demi's good at this.
Yeah, it looks
and
like.
And Courtney seems like a very sweet, nice girl who was raised right.
Raised right.
And, you know.
And is trying to go there
looks
with
after
Demi.
Her siblings and all that stuff.
Mm-mm.
And let's not forget, Demi's got a felon for a parent. So.
Jesus Christ.
So Demi don't play.
Right,
Demi
Courtney,
don't play.
You met your match here.
Mm-hmm.
You met your match. So can't wait to see what the hell that is next week. And yeah, that was the episode, guys. As always, rate, review, subscribe, please.
Yeah.
Hit us up on Twitter, the number 2 BLK Girls, the number 1 Rose. Thank you very much.
And hit us up through email as well. If you've ever been a pageant girl.
Yes.
I don't care if you were Miss St. Paul, Minnesota. Send us in your experiences.
Yes.
At the number 2, the number, oh my God, the number 2 black girls, the number 1 rose at gmail.com.
Yes. Hit us up on Instagram. Tag us in your story. And also, we do have merch. Teespring.com/2blackgirls1rose. I use my mug every damn day. I don't know about you.
Every day.
I use my mug. And you can never have enough canvas bags. I still use my canvas bag. I take it to the gym, or I put my lunch in it and take it to work. So yeah, get your Two Black Girls, One Rose merch. And we'll be back next week, guys.
We'll be back, guys. See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.